We're going to be in Psalm 19 this morning, very well-known psalm, a blessing every time I read and study it, Psalm 19. My prayer this morning as we go through this psalm is that as God speaks to us through His Word, we'll all listen and learn, and we'll love His voice, and we'll heed what He says, and humble ourselves before Him so that He can continually cleanse us as we need to be cleansed. So let's go ahead and we'll read the entire psalm, and then we'll dig into it. This morning. The Bible says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the in them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. Bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. Of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Let's pray one more time before we dig into the scriptures. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your word. We thank you that it cleanses us. We thank you that it's precious, and it has everything in it that we need to be able to know how to walk with you and have your face shine upon us and smile upon us. Pray that you teach us from your word this morning in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Does God still speak today? I know you know the answer to that question. We know he's spoken in the past because we have his word, and he tells us that he spoke to the prophets. He spoke through angels. He spoke to Balaam through a donkey. He spoke to Moses through a burning bush. And he spoke to the apostles. And he spoke to us through his son, Jesus Christ. But is he still speaking today? Well, he's not giving revelation through prophets anymore. No new books of the Bible are being written. And Jude tells us to earnestly contend for the faith. This is the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. It's already been given to us. So God's not giving us new revelation, and I know that's not a new revelation to you, but at the same time, God is not silent. He no longer speaks through prophets, but he's still speaking. He speaks to us through his creation, speaks to us through his word, he speaks to us through his Holy Spirit. He's still speaking, and so the question this morning as we go through this psalm is not, does God still speak? But the question I would have for each of you today is, when God speaks, are you listening? When God speaks, are you listening? If he's not silent and if he's calling out to you today, are you hearing his voice? And in this psalm, King David, the man after God's own heart, before he even speaks of God's word, before he even speaks of God's commandments, and before he confesses his sin, he starts somewhere simple to teach us where to hear God's voice. Starts by looking up. The heavens declare the glory of God. You don't need a prophet, a priest, a pastor to hear his voice, do you? Aren't you thankful for that today? You don't have to have a vision or a miracle to understand God's voice. But he's speaking to us every day, every night, everywhere we go, no matter what language we speak. God is speaking to us. And you can't hide from his voice. You just have to open your eyes and look up to hear it. And when God speaks, there are five responses I see in this passage that we must have. The first one is, when God speaks in creation, you must listen. When God speaks in creation, you must listen. The heavens declare the glory of God. So if you stop your busy life and just take the time to look up into the vast, immense majesty of the heavens, you'll realize that God is still speaking. He's declaring something to you. The heavens are saying, God is glorious. God is he is great and He has majesty. He's mighty. He's worthy. He's powerful. He's eternal. And you say, well, you can hear all those things just by looking up? Absolutely. Romans 1 says, the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and His Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God isn't just speaking to you as you look up at the heavens, but He's speaking clearly, distinctly, so clearly that the entire world is without excuse to not know what God is saying. When you see what God has made, there can be no mistake. When you see His creation, you realize that He is eternally God. You can't say, I don't hear Him. You can never say, I cannot see Him with my eyes. Because there's no mistake. His creation shows that He's eternally God. Only the fool says in his heart, there's no God. And I would submit to you that the more you look, the longer you look, the more you study and observe God's creation, the more loudly He speaks. Sometimes, all of you have passed through the seasons of children, grandchildren, some of you great-grandkids, and you've probably said sometime in the past to your little kid, go clean your room, go wash the dishes, go do your homework. Remember saying things like that? And then after some time, perhaps the room isn't cleaned and the dishes aren't done and the homework's not completed and the parent goes back to the kid and says, why didn't you wash the dishes? And you might hear these words from a kid, I didn't hear you. You ever heard that before? Maybe if you were a kid or if you remember being a kid, you said those words. I know I did. But you can understand this as you look at the creation. When you stand before God someday, there will be no excuse. There will be no one that can say, I didn't hear you, God. I didn't know. I didn't understand. Because the heavens every day are declaring, saying, speaking to you that God is glorious and mighty and eternal. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. The firmament is the vast expanse that God has stretched out. And Isaiah 40 verse 22 says, it is He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain. And He spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. The heavens truly declare His glory. The firmament shows His powerful craftsmanship and His skill in designing things. The things that God created in this universe are not thrown together like some cheap Dollar Tree toy. It's not even Dollar Tree anymore. $5 toy that breaks. You know, I remember when my kids were little and they'd want to go and spend $5 and buy five things. And I'm like, if you'd save your $5 and buy one thing, you'd probably get something a little bit better than five things that are $1. And sure enough, I'd let them and then go home and it's broken after about 5 minutes. But God's creation is not thrown together like that. His creation declares that life is not random. The stars aren't accidental. The sky and the galaxies aren't strewn out like garbage on the side of the road. And if you've never seen garbage on the side of the road strewn out, I can take you to some foreign countries where that's pretty normal. And the more people move to our country from third world countries, the more you see it here. But God is not like that. He's a God of order and a God of design. He sets the stars in place. They're orderly. They're magnificent. And every new discovery, as astronomers study them, only declares His glory and His handiwork in an even louder way. God is not vague. He doesn't secretly code His speech. God is deliberately and intentionally declaring to us through His creation. He's declaring to us a picture of His glory and of His majesty. Verse 2 says, day unto day uttereth speech. Night unto night showeth knowledge. Not a day passes when God doesn't speak to you. Do you hear Him? Do you jump up at the sound of the alarm clock, look at your phone, turn on the news, tear into the refrigerator, and try to ignore Him calling out to you? You say, well, Jeremy, we've been in church our whole lives. We teach the Bible. I understand that. It can be even more dangerous at this stage of life if we're not careful, because we know all the things. We've heard the messages. We know the Scriptures. And if we're not careful, we can tune out the voice of God and put life on autopilot as if we're now in control. But every day, God is saying, as you look out at the creation, listen to me. I'm God. I know what you're going to face today. I'm eternal. I can see the future. Stop and just listen to me for a while. You're going to need to depend upon me today, says God. Don't close the day depressed and lonely and worried and fearful of the events of the next day, because God is in control. And so instead, before you go to bed, stop and listen to His voice. He's calling out to you night unto night. Turn off the TV and put away the phone and close that book and put it back on the nightstand and look out at the night sky for a few minutes. And just as a small infant would look up into his mother's eyes and adore her as she looks at him, look into the sky at the face of your adoring Creator and just meditate upon Him and listen to His voice as He declares to you and He says, I'm in control. It's all okay. This world's a mess, but I've got this covered. I'm eternal. I know the happenings of today. Nothing took me by surprise. And then you can go to sleep at the sound of His voice instead of at the voice of some raging politician or news anchor. Rest in His powerful arms. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. God is speaking to us every day, every night, and we must listen. Verse 3 says, there's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Can the chief in the jungle tribe say in the great day of judgment, I didn't know? No, he hears God's voice. Can the fisherman on the remote island of the Pacific say, I didn't hear? Or the sun-scorched worker in the rice fields of Thailand, can they say, I didn't understand? Or the orphan child on the streets of Myanmar, can he cry out and said, I had no father to tell me how to hear your voice? No, they can all hear it. How about the self-sufficient American with a nice roof over his head, a full belly, and more than he needs? Can he dare have the pride to say to God, you didn't speak to me? The psalmist declares there's no language where God and His voice cannot be heard. Verse 4 says, their line is gone out through all the earth and their words to the end of the world. God's declaration, His message, is not local. It's not like some cult that starts out with an individual and it gets a little following. No, God's message is, it's universal. It's heard and declared everywhere. He is the Creator, the owner, the sovereign. His creation is a witness to Himself in every place, on every continent. There's no corner untouched or unreached by His glorious declaration. God truly is speaking. And though He speaks not today in an audible voice, He preaches to us. No translation of creation is required. Verse 4 and 5, He says, in them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. So every morning, without even opening your Bible, without listening to a sermon, the sun is already preaching a message to you. What message is it preaching? It rises every day without fail. It shines without your help. It sustains all of life upon earth without even being recognized. You cannot dim it. You cannot improve upon it. The sun rules by day, and it stays on the course that God set for it. It never sleeps in. It never forgets its path. It never chooses another path. It never fails. Climate change cannot stop it. Everything on earth depends upon the sun. The food you eat, the breath you draw, the seasons that come and go, you take away the sunshine and life ceases, doesn't it? Everything dies. Throughout the centuries, because of this, many have worshipped the sun. But the sun in all of its glory is just one thing that God created out of nothing. The sun is not eternal. It's not self-existent. And just as a groom comes out of his room the morning of his wedding day, he's not sad, he's not gloomy, but he's confident and he's strong and he is rejoicing as a strong man ready to run a race. The sun does this every day. And if the sun that God created is so incredibly powerful, what must its creator be like? How powerful must he be? How radiant and glorious must be the one who spoke the sun into existence? Verse 6 says, there's nothing hid from the heat thereof. Nothing. The blind man can feel its power. The deaf can hear its declaration. God is speaking truly. But the question is, are you listening? You can ignore preachers. You can disregard the Bible. You can push aside your conscience. You can harden your heart, but you can't hide from the sunrise. God is still preaching to you every day. Every morning it rises and shouts out in a loud and a rejoicing voice, and it says to you, He reigns on high. He lives. He's eternal. Bow before Him. When God speaks in creation, you must listen. Number two. When God speaks in Scripture, you must learn. When God speaks in Scripture, you must learn. God's given us His written Word. Aren't you thankful for that today? He speaks to us through the declaration, or that the declaration that He's eternal and all-powerful Creator and God through His creation, but then so that we can know how to understand Him completely and to know Him intimately, He has graciously given us His written Word. The word of creation cannot save, but it draws us to the God who can save. He's revealed Himself to us more thoroughly in Scripture. These are the very words of God. And I know you know this, but how do you treat them? How precious are they to you? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. When He speaks to you in Scripture, you must learn. Verses 7 through 9, He says, The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. I love how poetry works in the Psalms. It's not like rhyming American poetry, but it's given to us in parallel statements that are equal, one expounding different aspects of the same incredible truths. It's like looking at different facets of a diamond. Scripture, God's Word, this book right here, it's God's law. It's His testimony. It's His statutes. This is His commandment. This is His fear. This is His judgments. This book is perfect. It's sure. It's right. It's pure. It's clean. It's true. This book right here, it converts the soul. It makes wise a simple man. It rejoices the heart. It will enlighten your eyes. It endures forever. It's true and it's righteous all together, and there's power in this book. When God speaks in it, you must learn. And I ask you, are you learning? Doesn't matter how old you've gotten, how many times you've read the book, but are you learning from it? The lack at times of reading and studying and memorizing and meditating upon God's Word reveals pride in our heart. It converts the soul. But pride says, I don't need converting. I don't need change in my life. It makes wise the simple, but pride says, I'm wise enough to make my own decisions today. It rejoices the heart, but pride says, I've got understanding of this situation. I don't need God's word to enlighten me to make a wise decision in this matter. It rejoices the heart, but pride says, I can be joyful and happy apart from this book. It endures forever. But pride says, I can decide what is of value in life. It is true and righteous altogether, but pride says, I can work hard and I can be good all on my own without this book today. And that's a dangerous place to end up, living apart from God's word. When He speaks in Scripture, do you learn? Do you continue to learn? Are you living on past learning? Do you search for wisdom in its pages? Do you rejoice to read and study and learn what God has to speak to you today in these precious pages? Don't live as your own God in pride and self-reliance. When God speaks in creation, you must listen. When He speaks in Scripture, you must learn. It's not enough to listen to it, though. Not enough to learn it. But number three, you must long for it. You must long for it. Verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. If you do not desire it more than gold, you'll sell it for something cheaper. If you don't crave it more than your daily food, you'll never win the battle over your sinful flesh. If you don't wish every day to hear from His voice, then you'll allow other voices to drown out the sweet and precious voice of your loving Heavenly Father. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Psalm 119, 103, and 104, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. 1 Peter 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Do you continue to desire this book? Do you love to hear His voice? Do you long for it and rejoice when He speaks to you? You can't live a prosperous life without it. Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And we read in Psalm 1, the one who doesn't meditate and delight in this book day and night is not going to be the prosperous man. You'll never maintain a tender, growing heart toward God if you refuse to listen to His voice, to learn from His word, and to long for it more than your necessary food. When God speaks, you must listen, you must learn, you must long for it. Number four, when God speaks, you must heed. When God speaks, you must heed. Verse 11. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. When God speaks, He's not just giving us information, is He? He doesn't just want us to gain knowledge. But He cares for us. He cares for you. He desires to protect you from the evil to come. When God speaks, He's warning you. He's gracious in warning you. He declares His power to you in creation and gives you wisdom in His word, but you must take heed to it. You must be a hearer, but not a hearer only. You must be a doer, one that takes heed. When you heed when God speaks, He says there's great reward. Great reward. But if you ignore the warning voice of God, take note, you'll loathe the day that you shunned His voice. The God who speaks to you and warns you, you must learn, you must long for it, you must heed. And last, when God speaks, you must humble yourself. After the psalmist looks around him and he looks up at the sky and he sees the stars, the sun, the creation of God. And he says, the heavens declare the glory of God. And after he looks into the perfect word of God and he understands that it's perfect and sure and right and clean and true. And after he exclaims that it converts the soul and makes wise the simple and rejoices the heart and enlightens the eyes and endures forever and is righteous altogether. After he longs for it and desires it more than gold, he understands something from what God is speaking. After he listens and learns from God's voice, what does he do? He falls on his face in the humble contrition, and he says, verse 12, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. After he listens to God's word and learns and heeds, he asks for cleansing from secret sins. The psalmist recognizes just how small he is, just how little his created brain understands. He sees from the creation and from God's word that God is holy, but that he is unholy. He finds that God is righteous, but that he is unrighteous. He discovers that God is without sin, but that he is full of sin. And so he declares back to God, I'm so small and I'm so weak, I can't even understand my own errors. The depth of the depravity of my own heart, I don't even understand it, Lord. And when you truly listen to God's voice, when you open your heart to learn from His Word, you'll begin to discover that your heart is so exceedingly wicked, so much that you begin to realize that it is full of secret sins that you haven't even discovered yet. So you beg God with a humble heart to show them to you so that you can make them right and walk with Him even closer. And as you daily, moment by moment, read His Word and listen to Him as He speaks and declares to you, as you daily humble yourself and listen to His voice, He'll answer your prayer and He'll begin to show you those secret sins. And as you get those made right with Him, He'll show you more. This is the process of sanctification that doesn't end in this life. It goes on until eternity, until we get to heaven anyway. And then we get a perfect body without sin. Won't that be a glorious day? When my want to or will be broken and I'll have no more flesh to fight with. But until then, I come to the Son of Righteousness, the King of Kings, and I humble myself before Him and I say, Lord, would you show to me my secret sins? And the closer you get to Him, the dirtier you are. And He'll show something to you and you go, oh Lord, woe is me. And you'll confess that and you'll make it right and you'll keep a close relationship and you'll walk even closer and He'll show you something else. And He'll continue on and He'll make you more and more like Him until the day when you can see Him face to face and you'll have no sin. If you honestly ask Him to show you, He will. And as you draw closer to the blazing light of His glory, the more dirty you will feel and the more He'll show you those secret things. And it's a pleasure, even though it's painful, to ask Him to cleanse you and know that He will. And the feeling that that brings. Not only does the psalmist ask for cleansing of secret sins, but he asks for protection from presumptuous sins. Verse 13, he says, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Secret sins are the ones you don't know about that you ask God to reveal and to cleanse you from. Presumptuous sins are the ones you do know about. And you do them willingly, willfully, defiantly, with arrogance. I know this is wrong and I do it anyway. David asks with a humble heart, deliver me, Lord. Lord, I don't want to sin willfully, but I don't even have the strength in my own flesh to stop. Oh God, have mercy and deliver me from presumptuous sin. When was the last time you were broken over a sin in your own heart? And you knelt in weakness and admitted to your glorious King that you need Him. You can't live without His deliverance. And begged Him to cleanse your heart from secret sin and deliver you from known sin. If you can't remember the last time, maybe you've dulled your hearing and haven't been listening to His voice. Or longing for it. Cleanse thou me from secret sin. Protect me from presumptuous sin. And then he says, he wants deliverance from the great transgression. Verse 13, let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Secret sins, the ones you don't know and ask God to reveal to you. Presumptuous sins are the ones you know about and do anyway. The great transgression, I think, is a hardened condition of revolt and rebellion against God. The psalmist asks God to keep him from letting presumptuous sins have dominion over him. Why? Because he knew that if he continued in willful, presumptuous sin, it would lead to a hardened heart of rebellion against God. the great transgression. If God didn't keep it from having dominion over him, it would become a controlling, dominant sin in his life and become a hardened pattern of rebellion, a decisive turning from God. And it's what happens when presumptuous sin is no longer resisted. And David, hearing God's voice, cries out and he says, "Rescue me, Lord. Rescue me." He doesn't say some ignorant statement like so many churchgoers across the South say, "I got this. You're enough." You ever heard that? "It's all good. God's got my back. I go to church every week. It'll be okay. I'm saved. There's nothing to worry about. I'm blessed. Put up the sign on your front door." Well, that takes all your sin away, right? It makes you not have to fight with your flesh. We make statements sometimes forgetting that we still have a flesh walking around with us. Yes, we're cleansed from our sin. We've been saved and God has wiped it away. But day by day, as we seek God and as we come before Him, we must continually humble ourselves and allow Him to cleanse us daily from sin in our lives and to protect us from ongoing sin. David is desperate for God to restrain him from his own wicked flesh. Last, he asks for acceptance of his words and his meditations. Verse 14. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." He understood that the all-powerful God of creation saw not only his actions, but the very heart behind his actions. When he heard God speak, he understood that God sees all. Good actions don't cover up sinful motivations and sinful thoughts. Falling on his face before the throne, he says, "God, please keep my heart and my mind stayed upon you. Cleanse what I cannot see. Keep me from what I would dare to do. Rescue me from hardened rebellion. Make my speech and my very thoughts pleasing to you." So this morning as we close, and the question is not, does God speak? The question for all of us is, when God speaks, will we listen? Or will we pull our ears closed? When He puts His finger on something, will you learn from His voice? When He shines light into a quiet corner of your heart, will you ask Him for cleansing? And perhaps this is especially important for those of us who have known the Lord for so many years. It's possible to know all the lingo and all the verses and what the preacher is going to say before he says it. But the question still remains, do you hear when God speaks? Is your heart tender when He speaks? Are you listening? David didn't end Psalm 19 boasting about how much he knew about his Creator. He ended by looking to the Lord and he said, "O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer." He's my strength because I can't live this Christian life in my own power. He's my Redeemer because He's the one who bought me from the slavery of sin with His own precious blood and He rescues me. When God speaks, He doesn't speak to destroy us, but to draw us to Himself. He doesn't expose our sin to shame us, but to cleanse us. He doesn't warn us in His Word to condemn us, but to sanctify us. And the most important thing when we come into this church house each week is not more beautiful singing and not better preaching, but it's a quiet heart that simply says, "I'm listening, Lord. If there's something hidden, expose it and cleanse it. If there's something presumptuous, help me to repent and to keep me from it. If there's something already reigning in my life, remove it, no matter how painful, that I may be innocent from the great transgression. And let my words and my thoughts be acceptable in thy sight." When God speaks, you must listen, you must learn, you must long for more, you must heed, and you must humble yourself. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's more precious than gold. And we thank you that you've given it to us in our own language so that we can study it, memorize it, meditate upon it. And Lord, I pray that you'd help each of us in this room to do exactly that today. Help us to listen to your voice and bring comfort to that heart that is weary. And may they hear from your voice today. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You are dismissed.